The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. To go higher, baby. You're in the right place. We're going to elevate your mind, all right. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Lexi Brinkley, and Marie Early. This is the whole team, you guys.
Hey.
The whole team behind the scenes and on the air. We got the whole team here. Team OLR.
Yes.
I'm all jacked up.
I love when we're all here.
I know. I do, too. It's fun. Diamond, you didn't get to listen because you were in there working on stuff, and I was actually writing payroll right seconds before we went live. But anyway, the girls were all talking about their armpits.
Yeah. And fingernails.
And fingernails and stuff like that. So
just regular girl talk.
Well,
about your
Marie's
armpits.
Detoxing over there. Her detoxing her pits.
And I can't smell you from here, so that's a good sign.
I took a shower this morning.
Well, you know, I haven't used deodorant in like 20 years, so.
I've never really used it, so.
I never really have. Maybe I did when
you
I was.
You guys are lucky, all right?
Yeah.
Me and Marie are stinky people.
But you know what? I'm telling you, so right at the end of the conversation, I really think part of it is because.
The meat.
I don't eat any meat. I've rarely have eaten meat in my whole life.
I think it was Autumn that told us that meat and sugar are like the main
smelly.
Reasons why you
yeah.
like your sweat.
Like
smells.
I just don't stink.
Oh, for sure.
I could not shower for days and not stink.
Yeah. You are so lucky.
Yeah.
So
I showered last night and I have raging BO.
Wow.
So
that sucks.
I can smell it over here. No, I'm joking.
That's me.
But yeah, I do think that there's a connection there. And, you know, I just, I'll use like a freshener because I love the smell of eucalyptus or lavender or something like that under my armpits. And yeah.
I use like a natural deodorant, but it's one of those things that reapplying is a must because they only last for so long.
Yeah. That's how it is with my deodorant too. There's just, it doesn't have the wherewithal, it doesn't last.
Well, the whole point is the antiperspirant is what you want to get
away from
because it uses aluminum to clog up your pores.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
Listen
what
to
stops
you.
You. I've been mm-hmm. reading about it.
Yeah.
Well, and I heard a commercial.
Aluminum stops you from sweating. So deodorant, all deodorant does is mask.
Well, and you
smell.
Want to sweat. That's how your body detoxes. That is the last thing you want to do is prevent perspiration.
Right. That's why I just want my sweat to smell okay.
Not like
me.
Yeah. I would love it if my sweat didn't stink so bad.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'll
it's
teach
bacteria,
you my ways.
And it's actually the bacteria.
I mean, at least I know I'm doing what my body needs to do. It's getting rid of it.
Yeah. And I didn't hear what were you guys talking about your nails?
What's up with
your
nails? Oh, well, Marie or someone said
she
your nails
look
good.
She needs to get good. Her nails done.
I do, too.
Oh, that's what
me
it was.
Too.
She
me, too. Me, too.
I've never done my nails. I mean, I've
in your whole life?
Well, I mean, every blue moon or something, but not like this.
Filing
like
and
twice
buffing.
In a row. And I'm just amazed how nice they look.
Yeah, they look pretty.
Look at you.
And I use the environmentally friendly kind.
Nice. I was telling them mine are glue-ons from
they
Walmart.
They look good.
They do look good.
Because, you know, balling on a budget.
See. They look really good.
Five.
See those press-on ones? I feel like
oh
those are the kinds that, like,
I'm sure the glue is extremely toxic.
They look like gel.
Yeah.
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 I mean, honestly, from far away, they look pretty nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
I might try those. Yeah. I don't know. Diamond, have you ever done those?
Clip-ons, I haven't, but I saw Lexi's. I thought she went and got her nails done.
Yeah, see?
Interesting.
Fooled ya.
Well, now you know what? And it's expensive to get your nails done.
Yeah.
And,
it
you know,
is.
I work so much with my hands
that,
you know, but there is something I just, you know, I love working with my hands. I, not today, but one day last week I was out like picking weeds in my stone rock area.
Yeah,
in the
I was
front of my
listening
house.
Virtually wherever I was listening when you said you picked weeds the other day. And I was like, you've got to be out of your mind. The one day I did it, it was miserable.
I loved it.
I hated it.
But I
it.
Did it early in the morning. It was very, it's kind of like,
I almost broke my back.
I love to clean, but I was out in the sunshine. So long. There's something I don't know. There's something in my DNA. I love to do stuff like that where you can see the results. Like,
I do too, but my whole yard is weeds, and mm-hmm. so it like overwhelmed me, and I'm like, yeah. where do I even start?
Over but I broke it. A sweat. Is the reason I'm bringing yeah. it up is I broke a sweat because it was such good exercise,
yeah.
and I was getting my vitamin D. The sun, mm-hmm. you know, was getting on my arms and stuff, and mm-hmm. I don't know. It just felt really good.
You get that feeling of accomplishment too.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's why I love to clean.
I mowed the lawn last week.
I used to mow the lawn.
I don't have a yard.
Mm-hmm. Show did.
Nice.
See me pushing the lawnmower.
I love mowing
in
the lawn.
In your bikini?
No. No. Yeah. Not doing that.
Yeah. We were talking about some girl, and you weren't in here at Diamond because, as I said, you were in there working, so you couldn't hear. They were talking while I was writing out payroll about bathing suits. And this one woman, tell the story, Lexi.
I read it. She was in Tennessee at her apartment complex pool, and the leasing agents came out and said, cover up. Change or leave.
And they find her, right?
No, they didn't find her. She's saying that her and her fiance pay like a fee every month for this pool so that they can go and whatever. And people complained that her swimsuit was too revealing.
And so. They had pictures on the article.
It was a one piece.
Yeah.
And it just was probably a little
cheeky. She probably
cheeky.
Had a wedgie. Yeah.
I like that.
She had a thong.
Word cheeky.
It was cheeky style.
Yeah.
And people didn't like it. But I'm like, mind your business.
Yeah.
But you're at the pool. You're at a community pool. If
you're
you don't
want to
see
pool.
Other
yeah.
people's butts, then get your own pool. Don't go to the community pool.
Yeah. Very true.
Well, I do think I'm a little bit conservative on this because if you're in Europe and you're on the beach, I mean, I've sunbathed topless before. It's not a big deal when you're in that environment, okay? Mm-hmm. But I was raised by a dad who was very conservative in the way we dress because he had five mm-hmm. girls, you know? And we weren't allowed to go out of the house in short shorts or anything like that. Like, it was not happening. And, you know, it just wasn't. And if we had, like, hip huggers on or something like that, our shirt had to be tucked in to the jeans with a full belt. Like, mm-hmm. but my father was very liberal on so many other things. But when it came to his daughters, and now I got, you know, you got me thinking, it's probably because my father was a dog, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He was a dog himself.
He knows how they are.
Yeah.
So,
right?
So tell me this. Did you ever
He was in the Navy, and my father didn't even get married till he was like almost 40.
Okay.
And that was back years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say during a time where everyone got married when they were 20.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Did you ever wear the outfit that you really wanted to wear under the outfit?
And take your sweater
that
off?
Your dad wanted you to wear?
No, I would be too afraid. No, but I know that mine.
Did you, Marie?
Yes.
Oh, Marie totally did.
That's so
typical
funny.
Marie.
That's totally Marie.
I can see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you done that?
No. My parents were really strict too, though.
Yeah, like, about stuff like that.
For sure. I couldn't wear jeans too tight. I couldn't wear tank tops with spaghetti straps. Like, they were very cover up. Don't be.
Well, we were Catholic, so of course you're Catholic too, but they say that the Catholic girls are the worst. Isn't that what they say?
For sure.
I feel like the stricter you raise someone, the more they're going to rebel. I just feel like that's like not
absolutely.
The way to go.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. But there are guidelines. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Have guidelines and have reasons behind them, but don't just be like, don't do this because I said so. Mm-hmm. No kid is going to listen to you. They're going to be like, ha, watch me.
Yeah.
My mom used to never let me wear black. And so,
really,
black was,
it was
the
too
devil's
adult.
Color.
Oh, okay. I could see that because
that's
weird. Look how excited you got.
I'm just saying because in I want to say either middle school or high school, it was like a pool party, and one of the girls wore a black bikini, and my mom
that's
was
pretty
like,
"Pretty racy."
Yeah, she was like, "Black. It looks too mature."
That's like buying
for
a pair
child.
Of black panties. You kind of feel like
sexy.
What am I gonna wear these for?
You know, that is true.
It is true.
Yeah.
So when were you allowed to wear black?
Well, I'm blonde, so black is my favorite color. Same with you. Like, well, you're kind of blonde over there, Marie.
I always wondered because black is my favorite color to wear. And is it because my mom wouldn't let me wear it?
Oh, for sure.
Maybe. Or because I just like it?
I don't know. I love
black. Black is slimming and it always makes you look good.
Black just,
it's
I just,
sleek.
You know. It's I've always loved black.
Black is the new race.
And navy. Navy's my favorite color, though. I think it's the most complimentary.
Over black?
Yeah, or black and blue together. Navy and black together is beautiful together.
See, my mom always told me never mix navy and black.
My mom did
no.
too.
Mm-mm.
But I did it the other day, and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with
navy
this.
And black is awesome. It's beautiful together.
Yeah.
I have a lot of pieces that have navy. You know that navy linen skirt that I have that has the black bandit at the top?
Yes.
All black, gross grain. You know what I'm talking about?
I know.
Yeah.
I'm
trying
to think of it.
Yeah,
now.
I have a lot of pieces like that. Well, look how cute
you have a nice navy like winter coat that looks really good with black.
I do. I love navy too. I do.
I do too. Right. Navy's a
listen
great
to
color.
Us. People are like, we don't care. It's your show. Shut up. Enough already. Okay. So, but we have a really good show coming up today. We've got Dr. Forrest Talley talking about important. This is so important. We're going to be talking about important signs of a child or a teen depression and how you can turn things around. And with the recent rise in suicide, just. It's off the charts, the statistics on the uprising of suicide. This is something that we all really need to watch for. And I think of Linda...
Hulleberger,
who was on the show. And the words that she said to me that morning when I interviewed her before she was on the show, her son, Mason, took his life back about 6-7 months ago. It's been that long now. But she said to me, they trick you. They trick you. And I thought, what do you mean by that? And she said, they trick you. They make you think that they're okay. And sometimes they're not. And she said, don't ever forget that they can trick you. And I was like, even saying it now, like just almost makes my hair stand, gives me goosebumps because, life is so precious. And the children that we love so dearly, we want them to be happy. We want them to be healthy. And we don't certainly ever want them to contemplate ever taking their life, as special and dear as it is that we get the gift of life. And so, and then Dr. Dan Engel is going to be on the show with us today. He's amazing. He's a regular on the show. He's board certified in psychiatry and neurology. We're going to be talking about psychedelics, assisted psychotherapy, which the recent
decriminalization
of it, which is not legalization, but decriminalization of magic mushrooms in specifically the city of Denver. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk all about that. And I can't wait. So I hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to One Life Radio. Now the fuzzy stare from not being there on a confusing morning week. Impair my tribal lunar speak. And of course you can't become... One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMad, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, and I've got the whole team in here with me today, and I have Dr. Forrest Talley on the line. He has been working as a clinical psychologist since 1988. After completing a National Institute of Mental Health postdoctoral fellowship, he started a private practice in Nashville, Tennessee. He worked at the University of California Davis Medical Center for the next 20 years, and more specifically, he worked within the Department of Pediatrics at the Child and Adolescent Abuse Resource and Evaluation Center, where the focus was on helping children who had been abused or neglected. In 2008, he took a year off to deploy to Iraq and worked as a clinical psychologist. And in 2017, he left the medical center in order to start a private practice. You can find him at ForrestTalley.com. I love this guy. I do. He's just such a great doctor. He really is. And today we're talking about important signs of child and teen depression and how to turn things around. How are you doing today, Dr. Talley?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. I've got a lot of energy. I took some GABA again last night and got a good night's sleep from a recommendation of Jill Lane. I was a little short on GABA.
I'm going to have to follow your lead.
Well,
sleep could use a little work.
Well, I'm telling you, like it really did. It was we were talking about different nutrients that maybe perhaps we're missing, especially in the in the amino acid profile and GABA. And so I tried it and it really did work for me. So maybe it'll work for you as well.
Terrific. Yeah,
right.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, nice to be with you.
Yeah, it's always great to have you on the show. It is. And, you know, so we're talking about something that's so important, especially with the rise in suicide that we've seen, especially here in America. You know, even just last week, a friend of a friend of mine, a terrible situation, a young man took his life in high school. Just heartbreaking to hear news like that. It just destroys a family. It does. It's so hard to heal. So let's talk about this. So important signs of a child and a teen depression. So let's start with the statistics. What are the latest statistics?
You know, it varies a little bit because it depends upon the exact sample that you're using and also your definitions. But bottom line is that at least 5% of all children and teens are likely to have a really serious depression sometime before they reach adulthood. Now, that's 1 in 20. That's really high.
That's high.
More disturbing than that, I think, is that there is a trend for it to increase, which is what you were talking about just a second ago. So the situation is getting worse, not better.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was reading in Forbes about an article titled Six Ways Social Media Affects Our Mental Health, and it talks about Facebook depression, that the American Academy of Pediatrics has warned about the potential for negative effects of social media in young kids and teens specifically, and it says including cyberbullying and this Facebook depression.
Yeah. Yeah. Social media is not the teen's friend, despite the fact that teens tend to flock to it. When you think about the teen years, part of that is really focused on the social comparison. It has been. That's nothing new. But now what's happened is that social comparison has gotten even more grossly distorted with the social media because people can curate what they're showing and everybody else can see it. And so teens spend hours and hours on social media, and the comparison is always unfavorable in their mind.
Yeah. Well, so what does depression in children and teens look like?
Yes, it's very similar. There's some common distinctions with the younger kids, which the major one is that they'll show depression by acting out more.
Mm-hmm.
And teens, not quite so much so. But nevertheless, it used to be thought not only that children couldn't be depressed, but later it was thought that they show depression entirely different than adults and teens. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
There's some differences, but primarily you're going to see sad affect or emotions. You're going to see more frequent crying. Changes in sleep and changes in appetite could be less sleep, could be more sleep. It could be less of an appetite. It could be that they become ravenous. But you're going to see that. It's very often that you start to get lower energy, poor concentration, and a general sense of hopelessness and an assault on one's self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not all those signs are there for every depression, but what I would say is as a parent, if you're seeing three or four of those and they've lasted a couple of weeks or so, it's time to consult with your pediatrician.
Mm-hmm. At what age can a child, you know, become depressed? Because I was, when you said the words acting out, it led my mind to a book that Dr. Marilyn Wedge wrote, that pills are not for preschoolers. And I remember one story in that book about, you know, she cited a lot of stories of actual patients of hers. The child was like 3 or 4 years old and suffering from depression. How can that happen so young in life?
Well, it's often due to, in that age group, a real lack of attention and some disruption in bonding. Because at that young age, really, the child's needs are pretty basic. They need some attention. They need to be affiliated with a loving, caring adult. They need to be fed. They need to be kept warm, and they need to be kept safe. And most children who receive that plus a little bit of structure and routine are reasonably happy. But then you find in studies, especially if you look at some of the orphanage studies of kids who've grown up in like Russian orphanages where they are left in cribs and have maybe 30 minutes of adult attention a day at the most, depression is extraordinarily common.
Well, you know, my first boyfriend was lived in an orphanage. My first date, if you will, Paul George was his name, and he lived in, there was an orphanage right down the street. And you know, my dad used to always give the kids candy and stuff. I used to feel so bad for them, and they did seem so depressed. You know, of course, living in an orphanage, because that family connection or any connection is so critical to our well-being, right?
Right. It absolutely is, and so. If you have a poorly run, I mean, orphanages have all but disappeared. And if you have a poorly run one, then that sense of family isn't there. It's interesting. There's some studies of orphanages that really focused on developing a sense of family, and some of those kids did really, really well. But that was, from my understanding, certainly the exception, not the rule.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the specific things that we can do at home to help treat our children struggling with depression, or even first, I say, identify it? Like, how do you like? I guess if you're suspect that that's going on, should you take your child to a pediatrician specifically for depression? I mean, what should you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think it begins with just being an attentive parent. Who knows their child, and most parents fit that absolutely. And then being the sort of parent where you have the ability to talk to your child and, by and large, get the information that you need to make that assessment, which is, hey, honey, listen, you're like, if you're talking to a 12-year-old, you know, I see that you're moping around, you're not eating much anymore, you don't seem that interested in hanging out with your friends, what's going on?
Yeah,
if you have a good relationship with your child, they're going to tell you quite a bit.
Well, and what about, you know, let's look at the nutrition side of this. What about gut dysfunction? Or, you know, if children aren't getting fed well, they're not getting the proper microbiome, might be deficient in some really good bacteria, or even if they're on other drugs, because, you know, I had read that there's more than 200 drugs that have depression as a side effect. And so many of our children are medicated at a very early age now.
Yeah, well, I think that's a really good reason, isn't it, to take them to your pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that discussion, and maybe you're not quite convinced that it is just one of those childhood valleys that all kids go through. And so you just take them to your pediatrician, and your pediatrian should be able to screen for that.
Do pediatricians
are trained to screen?
Do they do that? I mean, I haven't been to the pediatrician with my daughters in a very long time, because my youngest is 14 now. I haven't taken her in several years because she's healthy, and there's no reason, in my opinion, to go unless. But for someone like, I don't remember them ever asking about does your child get probiotics. I don't ever remember a pediatrician asking me that.
Well, I got to say, I don't think that, that doesn't surprise me. I don't think that they will. I don't think that gut health is really something that most pediatricians that I've spoken to focus on, nor do I think that it's really looked at that carefully with regard to mental health. And that's, I think it should be. But the benefit of taking your child to the pediatrician is that as the gatekeeper, they should have access to a slew of counselors that they've worked with over the years who they know are good and would be a good fit. So if you have to go that way, then you're working with somebody who can steer you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, your pediatrician, most pediatricians literally have a caseload of thousands of kids. Not that they see thousands each year, but that's who's on the caseload. So they do see many, many children, and they should have a pretty good sense, if you have a good pediatrician, of whether your child is depressed or not.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, there are some really straightforward, very simple questionnaires that they can give you or give your child that will, within 10 minutes, steer you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I listed one on the blog that I have on my website about childhood depression that parents can go and use.
Well, and your website is ForrestTally.com for those of you out there listening, and you're listening to One Life Radio. Anything else in your final comments that you want our listeners to know, Dr. Tally?
Yeah, that depression is not uncommon in children. I would keep an eye open for it. If it happens, it's not the end of the world, but it's not something you want to ignore. It's something you want to help your child get through. It can be a major game changer if you don't get a hold of that early. game changing in how your child grows up.
Yeah, so, and in your blog, I apologize, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but in your blog, you talk about that, how to turn things around. So there is always hope, right?
There is lots of hope. There's lots to do. Yeah.
All right.
No doubt about it.
All right. Thank you so much. You're listening to Dr. Forrest Talley. You can find him at ForrestTalley.com. That's T-A-L-L-E-Y, ForrestTalley.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Talley. Always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. Okay. You too. Bye-bye. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. We have Dr. Dan Engel coming up. We're going to be talking about psychedelics, assisted psychotherapy. Stay tuned. Side of me, I'm not crazy, I'm just a little impaired. I know right now you don't care, but soon enough you're gonna think of me and how I used to be me and talking to One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. All right, we're going to do our sponsor shout-outs. We're doing them different today because Tara Ward said this would be so cool, so the girls are going to do it, starting with Lexi. So,
yeah.
Lexi, you go, girl.
I just want everyone to know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast and subscribe to our newsletter, which goes out biweekly. And you can also go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world, on your phone, on your computer, on your TV, however you want to do it. And Avi is going to tell us about our sponsors.
Yeah, a big shout out to our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premier all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to their website, sunwarrior.com, and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water. Crazy Water's all natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. Honest Hemp. Honest Hemp products are a natural alternative for managing your stress, reducing mild anxiety, and relieving pain from exercise-induced inflammation. Visit them at honesthemp.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order.
I'm Marie? Having so much fun with this, Marie.
Let's hear you.
I am just dying. One of my favorites, Paleo Magazine. They have some of the best information on the paleo lifestyle, as well as all lifestyles in general. Great recipes, products, and articles, and all-around wellness. The Wellbeing Journal. Wellbeing Journal is available in both print and digital versions. Order online at wellbeingjournal.com.
Our newest sponsor.
KetoMed is our newest sponsor.
Love KetoMed.
It's the first over-the-counter clinical ketogenic and antifungal meal replacement.
I put it in my whipped cream last night. I made whipped cream for Avi and my daughter, and I put the KetoMed in the whipped cream to flavor it and sweeten
it. Was good.
It was good. Mm-hmm.
I really liked it.
So they got their MCTs and all that good stuff.
That's great. And now, if you order at KetoMed.com, use the code OLR40. For $40 off.
No, just OLR. It's just OLR for $40 off plus free shipping.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. And
don't get nervous.
This is awesome.
I am nervous. Okay. Nature's Plate, one of my favorites. I use Nature's Plate all the time. I get there weekly. You can get it every week.
You go online and order.
It's they offer handcrafted, 100% vegan, always non-GMO, ready-to-go meals to help lighten your cooking and save you from the dreaded grocery store. And you can visit them at naturesplate.com and order. Or go to one of their locations.
Yeah.
Thorne Research. You have higher standards, and so do we. Shop the Thorne Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping on every order.
Woo!
Which is a steal.
It is.
Yeah, it really is.
It is a steal.
Fabulous.
They are. Yeah.
Okay, is that okay. it? Are you done?
That's great.
All right.
We love our sponsors.
I love it. We do love our sponsors, and they bring great doctors to you, like Dr. Dan Engel. We're talking about psychedelics-assisted psychotherapy with him today. He is a board-certified psychiatrist and neurologist. His clinical practice combines functional medicine, integrative psychiatry, neurocognitive restoration, and peak performance methods. He is the medical director of the Revive Treatment Centers of America, as well as medical advisor to one of my favorite brands, Onnit, Onnit Labs, and True Rest Float Centers. Dr. Engel is the author of the Concussion Repair Manual, A Practical Guide to Recovering from Traumatic Brain Injuries. You can find him at his website, Dr. Dan Engel, that's E-N-G-L-E, at drdanengel.com. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today, Dr. Dan?
I'm great, Bernadette. Good to be with you again.
It's good to be with you, too, and I love this. So the psychedelics-assisted psychotherapy, Denver decriminalized magic mushrooms. And so what does that mean for all of us?
Well, it's another major step ahead in what many of us as clinicians, when we look at the data, know are just such compelling medicines to help alleviate the major psychiatric illnesses and epidemics that are happening right now. Mm-hmm. So it's our belief that this is just one big ripple in the movement, and it's going to keep moving forward.
And I love it because I've shared my experience on the air before with our listeners. And I have to tell you, you know, from my personal experience, it was one of the most wonderful experiences of my life. And I still feel the effects from it now. I swear that I do. It did something to my brain that I will never forget. And just made me a different person in such a good way. I don't even know how to define it. But, you know, Do you feel that way?
Absolutely. And the data shows the same thing. Johns Hopkins had a really amazing study about 15 years ago showing that the vast majority of people going through a psilocybin experience in a therapeutic setting said that it was one of the most spiritual awakening experiences that they had ever had. And that lasted 2 years out from when the study closed.
Yeah.
So
wow.
You're right on point.
Wow. I love that. I love being on point, especially on a topic that I'm so passionate about because, well, you know, here's the thing, Dr. Dan, you know, so we are so removed from nature that we naturally would have these experiences if we lived in the wild like animals do. Do you think? I had that thought.
Yeah.
That's how I...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Many of these medicines come from nature, and we've been working with these medicines for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And culturally, as well as their inclusion into rituals and rites of passages, not just healing and needing to come to the medicine in order to, you know, alleviate some degree of pain or suffering, but also just the inclusion into the right experience of communities coming together, healing together, and experiencing their best lives together.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, let me ask you this, because there's so many different psychedelics out there. What are the different psychedelics that are used specifically for psychotherapy?
Well, it's a good question. If we're looking at the general medicines that are moving into what's called phase 3 trials, potentially to be legal in the next 1 to 2 years, the two big ones on the landscape are MDMA and psilocybin, what's in magic mm-hmm. mushrooms.
Okay.
And MDMA is classically extraordinarily good for chronic severe PTSD.
Really?
The order of 60 to 80% cure rate after only 2 to 3 sessions.
Wow.
And that's not an improvement rate. That's not just a reduction in symptoms. That's a cure rate.
Mm-hmm. Do they know?
The FDA green-lighted that as a breakthrough therapy, recognizing that there is a massive amount of people that have severe PTSD, especially our veterans, mm-hmm. who are committing suicide on the number of like 20 to 40 every day
I
in
know.
The U.S. alone.
Yeah.
Right. And so psilocybin is also going into phase 3 trials as a breakthrough therapy for treatment-resistant depression. So the data is just so compelling for both of those. And then when you look more broad spectrum, so to speak, mm-hmm. Also included in that is cannabis.
Of course.
Medical cannabis has been used for a lot of different indications.
Mm-hmm.
Ketamine, which is the only one that is legal federally. Cannabis is legal statewide in most states, but it's still technically Schedule 1 federally. Ketamine is legal as a Schedule 3, which means you need a prescription from a physician, and it's very good for treatment-resistant depression. Mm-hmm. And then LSD, I put all of these in level one medicines.
Okay.
And LSD is the most studied psychedelic medicine on the planet, with something like 40,000 case reports of benefit in the 50s, 60s, yeah, and 70s before it went completely illegal into Schedule One.
But back in, you know, like in the 60s when they were doing this scientific, you know, research on it, they used microdosing, right? Because you hear stories about, I just heard this the other day, a couple of kids here in Dallas last year jumped a bridge after doing LSD. They took their own life accidentally. They were on LSD and jumped off of a bridge. And you hear stories like that, and you're like, you know, we do have to proceed, yeah, with some caution, because this is a very powerful drug.
Absolutely. And because they're powerful, they do deserve their due diligence and training and respect. Mm-hmm. And to answer your question, the therapeutic benefit with something like LSD was both in the microdose but also in the macrodose.
Really?
And this is the difference between recreational use and therapeutic use. Mm-hmm. Therapeutic use is when you're experiencing the healing process with a trained professional and you're using it in a supervised safe setting, versus recreational use is when people are out using it on their own and with the varying degrees of safety and oversight and person who's going to be in the environment to make sure that nothing really detrimental happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait to talk more about this. We're going to go to break, so we'll have more time without interruption here in the end of the show. So more with Dr. Dan Engel. He is a board-certified doctor in psychiatry and neurology. If you're just now joining us, stay tuned, everyone. We're going to be talking more about psychedelics, assisted psychotherapy. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, Ketogenic Metabolic Nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, One Life Radio, everyone. I want to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. Or you can also go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Honest Hemp, Crazy Water, Keto Med, Nature's Plate, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorne Research. Welcome back to One Life Radio. We are on the line with Dr. Dan Engel. He is a board-certified psychiatrist and neurologist. His clinical practice combines functional medicine, integrative psychiatry, neurocognitive restoration, and peak performance methods. He is the medical director of the Revive Treatment Centers of America, as well as medical advisor to Onnit Labs and the True Rest Float Centers. Dr. Engel is the author of the Concussion Repair Manual, A Practical Guide to Recovering from Traumatic Brain Injuries. You can find him at his website, Dr. Dan Engel. That's Dr. DanEngle.com. Always a pleasure. Today we're talking about psychedelics, assisted psychotherapy. And so let's talk about this, Dr. Dan. Let's talk about psilocybin. What is the unique potential of this psychedelic for healing the mind?
Psilocybin is phenomenal for a variety of reasons that include its safety profile and its efficacy profile.
Okay.
So the Global Drug Survey of 2017 showed that people presented to the emergency department even less on psilocybin than on cannabis.
Wow.
So there was this, and there's a reason for that. It was just the cannabis strains are just getting stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes the people are exploring with psilocybin that they know that they're going to be exploring with something that's mind-altering. And oftentimes, if people are smoking a lot of cannabis, then they don't necessarily know that.
Well, and, you know, as a doctor, I have to ask you as a doctor, and I pardon the interruption, but what do you think about these strains that are becoming so strong for cannabis that are, like, just really gotten very, very potent?
Yeah, they're extraordinarily potent, particularly over the last decade or so, because it's now a hot industry, and there's a lot of movement in the space to find different strains that have a higher efficacy profile using different terpenes and unique alkaloids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the reason, too, is that cannabis is so good for so many indications, but it also people, if they use it daily, build up a tolerance.
Mm.
And then you start to need more and more over longer periods of time in order to get the same effect.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of the reason. And we also live in a culture where more is better and bigger is better. And,
Yeah. You
know, having a stronger effect is better. Unfortunately, it starts to bleed out the therapeutic benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of the reason if we're talking about something like microdosing psychedelics, which is another pretty hot topic these days,
mm-hmm.
The classic therapeutic regimen in doing that is you use a tenth of a journey dose. So it's not a full psychedelic experience. You were talking about microdosing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's a smaller effect. If you notice anything's on board, then it's no longer a microdose.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's about one tenth of a journey dose taken every 3 days. And the reason you take it every 3 days is so you don't habituate to the effect. And so that there's a reset in the neurochemistry and people can continue to use that at the same dose and still maintain a therapeutic efficacy over time.
Well, you know, you bring up, when you say chemistry, I was going to ask you that before the break, that what do these drugs, what is it that happens in the brain? What changes in the chemistry of the brain that sparks this enlightenment, if you will, or this journey that you're, this high spiritual feeling that you feel when you're on psilocybin? That I said it earlier today as well, that I've had the experience, and although I took just enough so I did not want to hallucinate, that scared me, so we took me as far as I could without reaching that point, and as I said, it was the most amazing feeling in the world. So what was happening in my brain?
Mm-hmm. Another really good question. And what we know that is one of the active components in psilocybin is DMT, or dimethyltryptamine,
okay.
and that's
mm-hmm.
classically the chemical that engenders the psychedelic experience. And that's also similar to ayahuasca. That's why psilocybin and ayahuasca are kind of cousin compounds, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And DMT is very much like serotonin, neurochemically and pharmacologically. They're only different in the molecules by a couple of unique substrates. And so the DMT can plug into these similar neuroreceptors that enliven the neurochemistry with an experience of oneness, with an experience of interconnectivity. And neuroanatomically, it helps to calm the fear centers while it expands this area in the front of the brain called the prefrontal cortex, where we mm-hmm. actually get more clear, objective witness perspective. So if we're able to see more objectively without the bias of our ego defenses mm-hmm. and all of our encoded memories, etc., and we're able to explore the realms of consciousness without as much of the fear center being activated, then we can really explore novel experiences in a way that we hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, classically, many of these medicines are used out in nature mm-hmm. to be able to reconnect with the natural world.
Yeah, well, you know, you said ego and memory, and that's what I experienced. Like, there was no ego, there was no memory. I was just like, my brain was completely reset. Like, it cleared my brain. Like, I had a clean slate. And it was the most beautiful mm-hmm. experience and feeling in the world.
Mm-hmm. And consistently, many people describe the same thing.
Mm.
And it's one of the reasons that I think these medicines, particularly the natural medicines, have been used in ceremonial context and in communal-based healing centers for such a long time
mm-hmm.
because there is such an amazing healing process that happens. And if you also look at some of the fMRI, the MRI is a picture of the brain, and the fMRI is a functional picture of the brain, and the Royal College of London did a study on psilocybin with, you had people using psilocybin, and they put them in a brain scanner, and they compared that to people not using psilocybin. And they saw a huge increase in the number of neurons and the connection between those neurons start to fire. Mm-hmm. And if you just do a Google search and you look like psilocybin on the brain, you'll see this, what looks kind of like a spider web. Normal brain has like 10 to 20% of the potential neurons lit up. Brain on psilocybin has like 70 to 80%
wow.
of the neurons and the neural connections lit up. So parts of the brain that wouldn't usually talk are starting to talk, and more of the brain itself is starting to talk. So it's showing such a strong effect in this enhanced neurochemistry, in this enhanced neural circuitry. There's also the somatic experience and how it feels in the body. And then when we look at how that works therapeutically, the data shows that psilocybin is very good for many of the afflictions that are happening right now, mm-hmm. including depression, anxiety, PTSD, addiction, and pain.
Well, so that's
psilocybin is good for each of those.
So it does have a medical use, most definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so yeah. Is it allowed anywhere else in the world? Is it legal? I know probably in Amsterdam, I'm thinking, or I mean, in the Netherlands.
Technically, psilocybin is illegal in Amsterdam, but the truffles are not. It's a different part of the mushrooms. It's uh-huh. a very unique kind of distinction. But there are only two countries in the world technically where psilocybin is legal.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jamaica and Brazil.
Really?
And unfortunately, it's because U.S. drug policy models global drug policy. Like the rest of the world follows U.S. drug policy because mm-hmm. of our influence and our fear yeah. of drugs.
With yeah.
the Nixon administration, when everything went into Schedule One, and then the Reagan administration, you had Ronald Reagan saying anybody that would try LSD is a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true that you just brought up a really good point of two kids jumping off a bridge, potentially high on LSD and not understanding the consequences.
Right.
This is why these tools, just like any tool can be used for therapy or it can be used for harm, mm-hmm. these tools require a lot of consideration and the right use and the safety profiles and how to do it well.
Absolutely.
So we're talking about efficacy. We're talking about therapeutic efficacy.
Dr. Dan Engel, I have to interrupt you, and I hate it because I love what you're saying, but we've got to go, or I'm going to miss the kickoff or the whatever. I miss the poll. All right, we'll talk to you later. Thank you so much, everyone. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.